Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone, to Debate Week. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Not only is it Debate Week, and we'll get to that in a second, it is also Primary Week in Colorado. Ballots are all due tomorrow at 7 o'clock. PM. It was the latest information they have at the Secretary of State's office of the 3.9 million registered or eligible voters in Colorado.
Who voted?
Yeah, like 534,000 have. It looked pretty much really low in terms of the unaffiliated voters. Republicans and Democrats were pretty much almost equal, particularly when you consider that they're more registered Democrats, right? And there are some pretty hotly contested for a change Democrat primaries going on, too. And in a way, we don't want to talk about that too much, but there is, to a certain extent, when you say a fight for the soul of the Democrat Party, too.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the very progressive, the Elizabeth Asks, the socialist, communist wing versus, I guess, what they consider the more moderate, less crazy wing. But in Republicans, too, though, and maybe been talking a lot about it and just kind of wanted to break it down a little bit. The grassroots took power, really, even though they've been growing, right? I think it's fair to say they took power in March.
Yes.
And when Dave Williams, a grassroots warrior, was elected chair of the Colorado Republican Party with a lot of support. You have...
It's not that big a difference, 55-45, so it was a tight race, actually.
Okay. Well, Eric Odlin was the other guy.
Fuck Eric.
He's a nice guy, but I mean, he would have been.
But he's a squish.
Yes, establishment. And so ever since then, and even starting before then, the RINOs, the Uniparty establishment people have fought tooth and nail, not against the Democrats, not against the Biden administration, not against Jared Polis, but against Dave Williams. I mean, they have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink at him, right? And in this primary, the amount of money that's being spent by Republicans to defeat other Republicans, by the Uniparty establishment to defeat grassroots Republicans is unprecedented, I think.
Well, the Americans for Prosperity have made a huge effort to control all but one of the primaries in which Republicans have a chance. The one they're not involved with is Lauren Boebert.
Right. I think they've conceded that.
Yeah. Well, next time we're going to do something.
Right.
It's they're putting in unbelievable amounts of money. The reports on, Dave has raised 17,000. They've raised it to $500,000 to $1 million. I mean, the spending ratios are obscene. Same with for Hurd and for Crank. I have to say, if anybody can break through, either Ron Hanks or Dave Williams, it'll be a great day, but they're fighting an uphill battle.
And what's particularly disgusting about it is the ads are just putting out lies, right? It's not like they're just advertising, vote for, the RINO candidate in CD5 against Dave Williams. They're just putting out flat out lies about Dave Williams. They're putting stuff out like, Donald Trump no longer endorses Dave. Right. Donald Trump has separated himself. The Ron Hanks race is bizarre. The Democrats have poured in a ton of dark money trying to promote Ron as a liberal, I guess, to try to sway the unaffiliated voters. But in the meantime, then, and this is disappointing, Speaker Johnson has poured a ton of money in basically saying also that Ron's a liberal. I guess the Democrats are saying Ron's too conservative.
Right.
The Republicans are saying Ron's a liberal, which, again, these things are just lies. And it's going to be... I'm trying to remain optimistic. what I hope is that voters, that both Dave Williams and Ron Hanks have enough name recognition that they will be able to, and not just name recognition, but people know them well enough that for the kind of people, particularly who are going to vote in primary, in a primary, that they see through that. I don't know. I mean, you never know, though. I mean, they wouldn't run negative advertising if it didn't work, right?
That's right. And then you have this weird deal. Ken Theory is now pouring money in. And one of the people he gave, I was opening up my Q2 this morning, and down at the bottom is a proven conservative warrior, Larry Liston. Vote your value. Now, Larry Liston is one of the namby, squishy, incredibly
censured by the Colorado Republican Party for filing fake criminal accusations against El Paso County Chair Vicky Tompkins' husband, Rex Tompkins, who is, by the way, his opponent. Well, yeah, that's something else I wanted to talk about.
But you have to realize that whoever's doing that money just wastes a lot of money. You can take, the congressional district, map it out, and have them put it on only those ones that are in the particular congressional district. Obviously, if I get it up here, it means that they're just, no, forget it. Just send it out to everybody you can possibly send it out to.
Well, I think so. Here's the other thing. So we've got the Democrats and the RINOs meddling in the Republican primaries, but you've got, and this is alarming. So Kent Theory is essentially trying to take over the election system in Colorado and install ranked choice voting and get rid of the party system basically altogether is what he would do. Get rid of caucuses, get rid of assemblies. It would just be just vote. And it would be ranked choice voting, which has been a disaster everywhere. So I just saw the Supreme Court today. He's got about, like a million different ballot initiatives, just throwing money and everything at the wall in hopes that one stop sticks. Well, today one did stick. The Colorado Supreme Court ruled that one of the ranked choice, getting rid of the party system in Colorado, ballot initiatives that Kent Theory is proposing can be on the ballot.
Of course.
Right? Of course. And he's got the money to get it there. In the meantime, though, just in case voters see through what he's doing, he's also now trying to buy, in the last few days, the Colorado legislature.
Larry List and Barb Kirkmeyer, all the most hideous semi-Republicans are around.
But he's equally playing, at least he can say he's bipartisan, because so Kent Theory has dumped almost $2 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, in these last few days, I think there's like 8 Democrats that he's pushing, right? And 5 Republicans. Now, I'm just going to say this bluntly. The only reason he's giving money to those people is that they have sworn undying loyalty and fealty to him and his ranked choice voting, getting rid of the party scheme, right? That's the only reason, because in case it doesn't win at the ballot, he's going to bring it up in the Colorado legislature, right? And between now and then, he's going to be spending a ton of money, but he wants to go in with a bunch of people bought and paid for. So there are 8 Democrats and they're all moderate Democrats, and I won't get into them. But these are the Republicans who have been bought and paid for with the sole purpose of destroying the Republican Party in Colorado. I mean, not even sneakily, right? Not even sneakily.
Why bother?
That's right. It's just straightforward.
Screw everybody.
And it would be, he's donated and he's using a PAC called Ready Colorado Action. And then another one, Weld Strong. So he's donated $125,000 to a Republican representative, Lisa Frizzell, out of Douglas County. Douglas County must be a hotbed of weirdness. $75,000 to the aforementioned Larry Liston, who's running against Rex Tompkins. $50,000 to a guy named Max Brooks out of Douglas County. $30,000, shocker here, to Barb Kirkmeyer out of Weld County, who sponsored legislation to get rid of the caucus system, right? And then $20,000 to a guy in Southwest Colorado, a J. Mark Rober. So these are the people, Frizzell, Liston, Brooks, Kirkmeyer, and Rober, who have already been bought and paid for by Kent Theory to get rid of the current election system. I mean, if you thought the open primary is bad, this would just be, for the Republican Party, I mean, this would just be awful, right?
Well, it's interesting. He used 2 groups that have been, he was very successful with, Ready Colorado, which purports to be a school choice group that should be ready to work from schools. It was set up by Josh Penry and other consultants. It's total whore group. It's a total whore group. Weld Strong, also, those are the ones that got Barbara Kirkmeyer elected and so forth. Total whores.
Right.
Total whores. 2 whore organizations with Theory money.
Well, and Theory, I don't think Theory could care less about school choice, right? Well, I mean,
No,
maybe
but
he
Ready
kind of hear.
Colorado was used to defeat all the conservatives in Will County last time.
Right. So it's got its
But so
system.
it sounds like, oh, they're for charter schools, they're for this.
Right.
They are just the most worst human beings. In fact, I got a question at the Jefferson County, or the, yeah, not Jefferson,
Parker.
Parker County conservatives. And what do you think of Ready Colorado, which I
Incredible.
had a fulsome answer. And then that was from
From Ted Harvey, who
Ted
could
Harvey, yeah.
clap for saying yes because they're awful. Well, and now we know what he was talking about, right? Because he said he was hearing rumors that they were going to be spending money in Colorado. But again, I think Ken Thierry's thing is he wants to, because he can't get elected any other way. He wants to buy his way into the governorship. And what ranked choice voting would do, you could put an R or you could put a D, but it would be solely pay to play, right? I mean, we've seen some of the proposals. The system would be, I mean, as much as $50,000 to even get your name on the ballot, right? I mean, it's total pay to play. And the only people who would win are the people who have enough money. I mean, people like Ron Hanks, Dave Williams, Lauren Boebert, maybe now that she's elected, Janet Joshi, none of these people. And frankly, probably even people like, you know, Jeff Hurd might not, it would be hard to raise the kind of money, right? We're talking massive amounts of money that would control the electoral system in Colorado.
So you've got Americans for Prosperity, you've got Kemp Theory, I mean, you got Ready Colorado, you've got Weld Strong.
It's like clowns to the left of us, jokers to the right. All right, and it's like, oh, rhinos, dark. I mean, it's bizarre the amount of money. But here, in the end, really, what they all want to do is say, look, we clearly saw in 2016 that the voters cannot be trusted.
Yeah,
if
no.
we leave these things up to the voters, God knows what they're going to do. So we need to give them the facade of having an election.
It's kind of like Iranian constitution, a facade of an election that means nothing. And a rule by Ken Theory. I mean, I'm really pissed off the jury didn't convict him. You know, they had him under charges.
Right.
And, you know, the only non-conviction, he probably paid them off too.
Right. Yeah. And so that's just something to keep in mind, because I think it is the kind of thing, once again, Kent Theory, he's proposing it like, you know, look, I just want to address most people in Colorado are not extreme. They're just in the middle. And I just want to be a voice for them. It's like, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Well, he does want to be the voice for them. He wants to be the bought. He wants to be the paid for, you know, buy his way into the election voice for them, at which point he'll screw them over. Right.
He'll screw everybody over.
Kent Theory can't get elected because it'll screw everybody over. And everybody knows that. So he's pushing this. It would fundamentally, I mean, I think it's true. We had one guest on who said there will be a before ranked choice voting and an after ranked choice voting in Colorado. And the two will be completely different.
Well, no, they won't be. The Democrats will win in both cases.
Well, yes. 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 You know, Kent Theory, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, oddly, we find ourselves and this thing on the same side as Elizabeth Epps and Tim Hernandez, right? Because those people, even though I completely disagree with them, seem to at least have a belief system,
right?
Now it's crazy and it's ludicrous and it's radical and dangerous and possibly even evil, but at least it is a system, right? The people that Kent Theory is trying to buy, their belief system is...
We have to have a moderate.
Their belief system is you pay me and I'll believe whatever you want.
Well,
me to
rich people are always moderates.
So that's what's going on there. So we've got the Americans for Prosperity trying to take over the congressional race. And keep in mind, it's not just in Colorado, right?
They bought them and Trump went along with them. They made some kind of deal because he endorsed Brown out of Nevada, who's considered to have the best chance. The war veteran got scarred in some attack, but you know, there really was a MAGA person. And the same with Gabe Evans, who was just a bland ex-cop who will do it as he's told.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand some of that. My guess is, and Chuck and I kind of disagree, because Chuck is a pessimist and he worries that Trump is going to sell us out. I don't think so.
I didn't say that.
Well, you said you wonder if he's changed when you said, why is he making a deal with Americans for Prosperity?
Well, he's more practical and he did that.
Okay, then I take it back. I take it back.
Always have to watch out for
So what do you, I mean, I think you're right. I think Trump is like, I'm just going to get myself elected. And if Americans...
Well, obviously Gabe Evans has the best chance in Scarabeo, no question about it.
Right.
And the 8th Congressional District on paper is one of those that's up for one. So if he's
grabs.
Yeah, if he's So it's
So for whatever reason, I think you're right. Trump and Americans for Prosperity, who hate Trump and they want open borders, have made some kind of truce. I imagine with both of them probably planning to screw the other side once they
hopefully.
get elected. Yeah, hopefully. So, but anyway, so that's the thing with the primary. Obviously, Wednesday we'll have a complete wrap up. Now, under the new current election systems, we may not have results until sometime in August.
Of 25.
Of 25, yeah, but we'll have obviously complete results there. In the meantime, though, you're right. Want to talk about the debate a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so on the 27th, President Trump, Joe Biden are debating. Biden, like, apparently, literally, is practicing standing up, right? So this is my prediction, and now we'll get into the CNN
Kerfuffle.
kerfuffle here in a second. I predict that it is going to be more boring than we think. I predict that Biden will not collapse, but on the way. It's kind of like why you watch car racing, though, because you never know. There could be a crash.
Could hit the rail.
It could hit the rail. I predict that he won't, that he'll get through, that he's just going to shout platitudes. And the bar is so low. Like even The View was saying, if he just doesn't keel over on the
The
way to the
bar.
podium, right, then it will be considered a success. Trump, I think, is also going to be, my guess is, measured. He's going to just talk stuff right. Trump, I
He could
think.
always change his mind halfway through
It depends on how it goes.
them.
It depends on how it goes, but I think Trump is probably just gonna let Biden be Biden and just, hope as the evening goes on, right, that Biden gets worse. But I predict that it's gonna be more boring than we think. What do you think?
I think the best bet is boring.
Those things always are. But it will be good ratings because again, it's sort of like, hockey fights or car crashes when you watch a car race.
But you gotta
It
have a
could go
car
south. It
crash.
could go south. In the meantime, though, CNN, what a bunch of idiots there. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. So CNN host Casey Hunt was interviewing one of Trump's
The
spokespersons,
leading spokesman.
least, yeah, Caroline Leavitt, the Trump campaign thing. Now, CNN, I don't know how this happened, right? So you've got Jake Tapper, who hates
Happen.
Tapper, rather, who hates Trump. You've got Dana Bash, who
Who hates
said,
Trump?
who hates Trump, when the Supreme Court said he could stay on the ballot. She said, unfortunately for America, the Supreme Court is keeping Trump on the ballot. Her ex-husband is one of the 51 intelligence officers who signed the letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation, right? Just a known liar. So that's where she's coming from, right? And when the Trump spokesperson kind of tried to point that out, CNN, the host, melted down, which is, it's just outrageous. And Thomas, if we could please play the CNN host soundbite, this is insane.
It would take someone 5 minutes to Google Jake Tapper, Donald Trump, to see that Jake Tapper has
Ma'am, we're going to
consistently,
stop this
frequently
interview if you're going to
likened
keep
President
attacking my
Trump to
colleagues.
Adolf Hitler.
Ma'am, I'm going to stop this interview if you
I'm
continue
stating.
to attack my colleagues. I would like to talk about
I
Joe
am
Biden and
stating.
Donald Trump, who you work for.
Yes,
If you are here to speak on his behalf,
and
I
I
am
will
willing
do
to have this
that.
conversation.
I am stating facts that your colleagues have stated in the past.
Okay,
Now,
I'm
as for
sorry,
this
guys. We're
debate,
going
the
to come back out to the panel. Caroline, thank you very much for your time. You are welcome to come back in.
You are welcome to come back every time you toe the company line, every time you say, in fact, next time we're just going to write the script for you so you can say that you hate Donald Trump too. I mean, and here's the thing. So it's blown up all over the place, right? And what an idiot, because number one, like no one watches CNN anyway. So not like the five people who saw that. But because she did that, it's blown up and everybody knows what a horrible idiot she is, right? And then in the meantime, because I did it too, I'm like, okay, 5 minutes. I Googled Jake Tapper Trump. I mean, Jake Tapper has hated Trump for years. And so in the meantime, just a handful of days before the election, CNN is revealed to be completely biased. And all of these old Jake Tapper sound bites are coming up too. I mean, what do you think?
Well, there's no question it's incredibly biased, and Dana Bash may be more so. I remember I met Jake Tapper at the Clinton Initiative in Denver, and I was shocked by how much he sucked up to the Clintons. I mean, he was just, off camera doing, "Oh, how are you doing?"
And here's the thing. So here's, we're going to play a few Jake Tapper sound bites. So this one is when Jake Tapper compared Trump to Hitler. So if we could please play Jake number
Hitler.
one.
Humanizing rhetoric of Adolf Hitler is once again alive and well on a national political stage. This time, of course, in the United
United
States. Donald
States.
Trump a couple times over the weekend referred to immigrants from South America, Africa, and Asia. He did not mention Europe, South America, Africa, and Asia, as, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, which it's not hyperbole. That does very directly echo Adolf Hitler's language before World War II. To open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf, you would find the Nazi leader describing the mixing of non-Germans with Germans as poisoning. There's really no other way to say it. Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly.
So that was just a few months ago. He was saying that. So that's him comparing it, and which of course was taking it totally out of context, sure. Right? It took it totally out of context. Trump was not, channeling Hitler or anything like that. Here's another one where during the trial, so they're trying to cover the trial, which no one liked and no one cared about. One of the trials, right?
One of the many trials.
And is, of course, we all saw Donald Trump do. He turned all of those basically into rallies, right? Because he went out and went to talk to the common people afterwards, everybody just in restaurants. So this was Trump, and they were trying to be attacking Trump, but they're carrying a live picture of Trump inside this restaurant in Miami where people are high-fiving him, he's cheering, people are going, yay, yay, yay. Everybody loved him, right? And Tapper has a meltdown there. If we could please play. So he shuts it off, right? He's like, just like the other anchor, it's like, hey, if you're going to say nice things about Trump, we are not going to even let you on the air. So if we could please play Jake number two.
Is for mishandling the most.
That's Trump in the restaurant. Everybody loves him.
And for obstruction of justice, along with Walt Nauta, who is charged with intentionally setting up lies to the grand jury, to the FBI. Any way you look at this, and again, despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already. Let's go over again the 37 charges that Donald Trump is facing.
That's quit showing the fact that voters like Donald Trump. We're here trying to attack Donald Trump, and that's all we're going to do here, and we don't want to do it. And then this is another one. I mean, this just goes back to the bias from the very beginning. And the night of the 2020 election results, he was talking about that the terrible dark time under the Trump presidency is over. They're talking about, so if we could please play Jake number three.
Caused and exacerbated by President Trump himself. It's been a time of several significant and utterly avoidable failures, most tragically, of course, the unwillingness to respect facts and science and do everything that could be done to save lives during a pandemic. It has been a time where truth and fact were treated with disdain. It is a time of cruelty, where official inhumanity, such as child separation, became the official shameful policy of the United States. But now the Trump presidency is coming to an end, with so many squandered opportunities and ruined potential, but also an era of just plain meanness. It must be said, to paraphrase President Ford, for tens of millions of our fellow Americans, their long national nightmare is over.
Now, That's what you call
and
fair and honest, unbiased host. I mean, give me a freaking, you know, and I'll say, for instance, Janet Joshi, who's running in CD8, had at one point talked to us about maybe moderating a debate with him and Gabe Evans. And I said, well, no, Janet, much as we would love to do it and it'd be a lot of fun. Clearly, Chuck and I support Janet and we're opposed to Gabe. I said, no one in the world.
Gabe, why are you a tool of American prosperity for open borders?
And I just said, no, it just wouldn't be right. No one would take us seriously. No one would take the debate seriously. But here you have CNN, which has spent more than four years. And not only, you know, it's so funny listening to that 2020 thing. So who are the people pushing the lies of CNN, right? Who are the people? I mean, who was the one? So Donald Trump separated kids, but the Joe Biden is sells the kids into sexual slavery, right? I mean, that's much
more humane.
Get
them working early, young and early.
It's insanity.
Isn't that working?
Right. Let's see. This is okay, Jacob, this is another thing, but it's from Sandra. Oh no, Julie, do you watch The View and prep for your show? I couldn't ever. Good for you there. No, I just read the Gateway Pundit, Sandra. They do the dirty work for us. And Jim says the questions will be designed to match the few talking points Sleepy Joe might remember. Exactly. And as I'm from Jacob, Is Tapper former CIA? I don't think so. Is he?
He was a staffer for a Democratic politician. I forget which one.
Okay, who then became the CIA? No, but he's just a paid mouthpiece for them. And I think, Jim, that you're absolutely right. This is what I think is going to happen. I think Joe Biden has shown, I mean, he's been giving the same speeches for like 40 years, right? And he can, I think, probably stand up there and shout the same slogan.
Corn pop.
Yeah, he can get up there and he can do the same nonsense.
When my son died in Iraq.
Right. He'll talk about wherever Bo died this week, you know, and he'll talk about God knows what.
18-wheeler experience.
Yeah. 18, I mean, you know, and when he took the train.
The question is, can they stop him from saying the lies that he doesn't know, no longer remembers of their lies, you know?
I mean, right. Well, and even that, I think as long as, and I think he'll be able to do this, as long as he does it somewhat coherently,
right.
He's going to come, I mean, you know, he'll come across.
He's perfect. He's great.
He's fine.
And like Jane Fonda, he's perfectly fine to be president.
And that's all they need him to do, right? And I think the questions will be designed to let him mouth platitudes, right? And my guess would be, although we never know, which makes it so much interesting, though, that, you know, they're going to be commercial breaks, right? So they can prop him up again. They can give
brought
him
brought to you by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Pfizer, right? They can give him, you know, whatever they need to give him to keep him going.
Oh, yeah. this is just for my jab for.
Well,
no, it's not a Zanarol.
Well, and I don't know. During the breaks, I don't know if the candidates are allowed to stay.
Yeah, they put a big screen.
They could put a big screen Dodgers around. Yeah. And they rush in.
Like those tents for the NFL players. You know,
yeah, really. Yeah, really. They go into the injury tent. And then he comes out and he looks much better. So I think they'll do that. And I think, I'm guessing during these practice sessions that's what they're doing, right? Is they're seeing how far can he
how
go.
How far before the next shot?
And again,
let's drug test him here.
And in a way, and I think the Trump campaign, and Trump is smart by saying, I don't think he's going to be as bad as people think. I think that's good, right? You don't want to. And I think if Trump, you know, my guess again would be that Biden, it's Biden. I know I was reading a thing that said it's Trump's to lose. I don't think so. I think it's Biden's to lose. I think if Biden, if Biden crashes and burns, they're probably going to have to find another candidate.
Which they wouldn't mind.
Which they wouldn't mind. Which I think that's why I think they're letting him do that. So that'll be interesting. Obviously, and we'll have, you know, coverage going up. But it's outrageous to me that anybody is even, that CNN host says, I will not let you speak bad about me.
They've conducted themselves incredibly biased and unprofessional time after time.
Again, how stupid they are. Because if she had simply let Carolyn Leavitt talk, five people would have seen it, right? The fact that she didn't, and now everywhere, because I'd forgotten just how biased Jake Tapper was.
Right.
And you start looking, and she was right. You just go on there, Google Jake Tapper Trump. Now, right now, all the headlines are this, but you just go down a little further, it's Tapper Hitler, Tapper this, cut off the restaurant. It's like over and over again, Jake Tapper. So it's like, if you had forgotten how biased CNN was. Yeah. And then everybody's now mentioning, oh yeah, remember Dana Bash who said this about Trump, and then her husband's the ex-husband, the intelligence
CIA guy.
Right. It's just a joke. So, but it'll be an entertaining joke. And I think interestingly, CNN is going to let the other networks carry it.
Sure, but they're, you know, they want, they'll take any rating thing. Yet.
Yeah, I wonder. It'll all have to link back through them. So, so that's what an interesting week this is,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And then why don't I talk about something else? We've got a few other things to talk about. And I'll let you set this up. Neil Oliver and Tucker Carlson.
Well, Tucker interviews Neil Oliver. Neil Oliver was a BBC presenter on a lot of what he called soft archaeological and other things. He has this wonderful, lilting, very erudite Scottish accented English, and he comes off incredibly likable, but all of a sudden he took a red pill somewhere and he realized that everything was just the opposite of what he thought. I mean, I used to think that after watching West Wing that as long as Democrats are in charge of the presidency, the whole world is in good shape, but now he's been red pilled, and so he's regularly, and he's getting, he used to be part of the Royal Society of Edinburgh, which is a very prestigious, although you don't do anything. They threw him off that. I mean, there are all these kind of nice things because they wanted to have this nice BBC presenter, not somebody who'd been red-pilled.
Not somebody who actually told the truth about things. That is not, we're not allowed to do that.
So he's been thrown off every you know,
platform
he can be thrown off of. And so he's sitting down with Tucker. It was interesting about it. It was about an hour and a half, I think, interview. But they cut 20 minutes of it off of YouTube and some other ones. And you kind of go, whoa, why would you do
they
that?
They being the platforms, not Neil Oliver and Tucker Carlson.
Oh, that's right. It was YouTube and somebody else. There's one other one. And the only place you get the full interview was on Rumble. So we said to go back, hey, let's look at the 20
What did
minutes.
They cut out? Yeah.
And so that this is why they didn't want you to hear that.
Right. And again, I just want to talk. Well, okay. Yeah. So they talk, what he talks, he starts talking about COVID. And I have theories on why they're cutting us off. So let's go back to how unusual.
You'll figure it out.
On how just briefly how unusual it is. Like we got banned from CNN and from YouTube. We'd probably be banned from CNN too. But normally what they do is they just don't post the show, right? And normally it's an algorithm that catches it. But I am confused or not certain how it would work that somebody would have had to have gone into the program that was posted on YouTube, cut out that 20 minutes.
It'd be YouTube.
Right. So I mean, that's an extraordinary step usually. Do you know what I mean? I don't know of any other instances where normally they just ban the whole thing. They just don't show it, right? So maybe Tucker Carlson has enough clout on YouTube that they don't want to gut on his bad side. I don't know. I have my who knows. But it is interesting that somebody went in and just edited this out. And he was talking about, they were talking about COVID. And basically Neil Oliver is like, no, I don't believe COVID. And then he kind of explains it, but if we could play, it's a little bit long, but it's fascinating. If we could please play Thomas the Tucker soundbite.
The virus, intentionally or not, got out of the lab in Wuhan, the COVID virus, then, you know, they moved immediately to institute totalitarian rule. That will happen again. They're still doing gain of function research, as you well know.
But don't you think though,
and there'll be a real virus that escapes?
But I don't think so. I'm not sure there ever was anything. I'm not persuaded that there ever was anything novel called COVID. I'm not. COVID came and influenza vanished. That's a bit, really? Now, all the people that would traditionally in their tens or hundreds of thousands every winter would die of the flu.
Yes.
Nobody's dying of flu. You're now, well, this is now COVID? That's kind of convenient. So I'm not entirely sure there was anything new. There was no pandemic. You know, the average age of death was 82, 83, which is beyond life expectancy. You know, you look at the stats, the official government stats for a country like Germany in 19 and 20, 2019, 2020, hospital bed occupancy was at an all-time low. There was nothing clinically observable that would have given any clinician any cause for alarm in terms of we're dealing with something here. People are dropping like flies. It simply wasn't.
Did you have a lot of friends who died of COVID?
No, I don't know anyone who died of COVID.
What do you mean you don't know anyone?
I don't know anyone directly.
Millions and millions and millions of people died.
No one connected to me. None of my people died of COVID. But I know plenty of people have died subsequently of heart attacks and or stroke or all the other things that, you know, that happened once.
Do you know anyone who knows anyone who's died of COVID?
Well, I must do. I must do. I can't think of anyone else. But I do not know anyone who died of COVID.
It's kind of crazy if you think about it. It's like, I don't know.
I'm not persuaded that there was anything new circulating. There may have been, but it doesn't matter. Even if there was, the facts remain. The data makes clear that there was no, the people weren't dying in large numbers. Not before the rollout of the jabs. But in 2019, 2020, there was nothing to see here. What we ended up with was a pandemic of testing with the misapplication of PCR tests that were never designed, according to their designer, to be used as diagnostic tools. They're forensic. They're not diagnostic. Everything about it was hinky. The whole thing was obviously, they simply took an opportunity to do something that they were planning to do anyway, which was to use a pandemic to seize control of people's freedom
and their money, he went on to say. You know, and that's, you know, remember our Michael Tao, who we haven't had on in a long time. That's basically what he said too. He said that there is nothing.
And the only, you know, if you look at the difference between the, you know, number of deaths from influenza and COVID, it's more for COVID. But that has to do with the fact, I think, that they everything was COVID. You get an auto accident before, they wouldn't go, oh yeah, that auto accident was influenza. Oh, that was influenza. No, I mean, they said, no, he died because of the car crash.
Well,
and so the increase between normal influenza and the higher numbers for COVID was the misreporting.
Right. Well, and the
and they'd give money to ones that reported higher COVID
right.
ones.
I mean, exactly. We did a show a long time ago where they talked about somebody was saying that they had a relative who died of a heart attack. It was a heart attack. Right. And they called it COVID. And the reason they called it COVID is the coroner's office admitted that they got more money.
Right.
If they called it COVID. And I thought, well, you know, it's interesting to listen to him. And, you know, when you think of it, it's not like there was like, you know, you can like look through a microscope and there's this little thing and it's like, that's COVID, right?
They don't do that little spongy thing.
It doesn't look like that, right? That was a graphic representation. They just
Somebody
made it.
should get copyright on that.
Because there's long strands of DNA and RNA and stuff like that. And they would find certain strands when they tested, which was totally bogus. And they would hypothesize that it was COVID. The trouble is the people doing the hypothesizing were being paid, and it was part of their job to stir up the whole hysteria over the pandemic. So I think he has it. And it's easier to look at some of these statistics in other countries, because the United States is just all squashed, right? And I think the reason, now Thomas is saying, so this is interesting. Thomas says there is an editor. If you have a copyright claim on a video on YouTube, it will give you the opportunity to edit out the claim portion and upload the video. And then he says, I love Scottish accents. I do too. Yeah, I don't know, but I think this Thomas, this wasn't a copyrighted thing. And I don't know, maybe they gave Tucker I think Tucker would have said that though.
No, Tucker wouldn't have.
To have edited out.
Oh yeah, take whatever you find offensive out of there.
To me, it seems like somebody at YouTube had to have gone in and edited out the COVID discussion.
Right, because you can see the whole thing
on Rumble. Okay. He says, I think you have to send in a request to YouTube to use it, though. Yeah, this, I think, was not Tucker's request. I think this was YouTube doing this, because it is all up on Rumble. Thank God for Rumble and places like BBS, radio.com. But I think what's happening is we're starting to see lawsuits emerging now about all of this, right? And I think...
Well, it's interesting because they got immunity from any claims of the malfeasance of thing. So they're filing under the claim that it was the information that was false, not the, regardless of the actual physical one. It's the claimings they made that how it's safe, effective, wouldn't transmit, all of which were knowingly false.
Well, and what's interesting too is people are now starting to sue, not the pharmaceutical companies, but they're starting to sue the organizations that made them get the vaccine.
And they should.
Right. I mean, there was just something today. It was talking, I think Catherine Herridge, she was the one that was fired by CBS, right. Who now has her own, she's doing her own independent stuff. And she has a great story on about a military person who has had all kinds of problems after she was forced to take the vaccine. And they did find internal memos that said it was from the vaccine. Right. Mm-hmm. So all this information is starting to come out about vaccines. They need the myth that the risk and the dangers of the vaccine was still less than the risk and the danger of COVID. If the truth gets out that there was no risk or danger from something called COVID, then everything blows up on them, right?
Blows up on the deep state.
Well, no, because they just censor it. But it is, there are people asking questions. You know, even today, Alex Berenson was reporting on Twitter that they had found previously never seen documents between the Biden White House and the head guy for Pfizer, right? Coordinating right as and censoring information about the vaccines and alternate forms of treatment, just as Pfizer was getting ready to release its whole new
batch. Well, that's even more shocking to me because I went to a doctor when I had COVID, and he wanted to send me to the emergency room, and said, no, you can't take ivermectin and you can't take hydrochloroquine. And luckily I went to Wyoming and got it anyway, but you know, that seems to me to be grotesque malpractice that actually the medical establishment was putting down. And in some cases in California, you couldn't even do it under the physical ad limitations. And they were taking doctors who did.
Right, and punishing them.
And it's amazing because that's just all part of this red pilled. Oh, I didn't know they were.
Right. Well, and this from Jacob sounds like NPR's Colorado affiliate CPR that a car accident in Boulder was caused by climate change. Exactly. And then he says, Jacob, yes, correct. All the general discharges in the military are being changed to honorable discharges and the personnel are being compensated. Exactly. And now we've got Sherry from Lakewood. She's always up on this kind of stuff. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. You know, there's, like Chuck was saying, or Neil Oliver, sorry, but they're talking about the flu and influenza. But all you have to do is if you look at the death rates every year, they have been so consistent every year. When you look at the percentage, because you take in for the amount of population growth, and it's really, really consistent, even through COVID.
Yes.
And it started going way high after that when the vaccine started. That's
right.
When you start seeing the death rate really going up. So for you, then it's like, well, for what reason? And now you're starting to see like Gateway Pundit and these different people saying, especially like you're saying other countries, they're doing
right.
these studies, and they're like, wow, how come? And I mean, you're getting huge percentages.
Right.
So, and then the thought is also, they were saying that they're expecting these vaccines to really start showing themselves in 3 to 5 years.
Right.
So, you know, we're starting to get to that 3 years. And now you're hearing about the avian flu. Oh my gosh, the cows and the chickens.
We can't eat meat.
Is it because people are going to start dying in 3 to 5 years? So you better get another pandemic lodged. Because
yeah, exactly.
You
hide
have
it.
Something
that's
to explain.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Well, yeah, I mean, you look at, and as Neil Oliver said, when COVID first hit, 2019, 2020, there was not the spike. The spike came later. And think about what was going on then. Number one, you had the vaccines, which we're now starting to learn seem to be incredibly dangerous, depending on who you were and et cetera, et cetera. But you also now had all these people who were not going to the hospital anymore, right? I mean, I think you had people who were isolated. You had all kinds of other factors going on that I think did contribute. I mean, somebody who maybe would have gone to the doctor, now they're not leaving their house. I mean, I just think, I don't know that we'll, this is such a horrible thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that we will ever get to the bottom of it because
the truth is, just
I mean,
too
Benghazi is nothing.
Yes,
you know, the Russia hoax. I mean, I don't know. Well, what do you think, Sherry?
The truth, like you're saying, to get to the truth, I mean, people were murdered in the hospital with ventilators and with risk.
Yes. Ventilators. Yeah.
And the hospitals and the doctors are making what you mentioned. They're making profit off of murdering people. Why? Because we need to show how dangerous COVID is. That
right.
may not have even existed.
Right.
So, we need more ventilators. Where are the ventilators?
Remember that? The whole
where are the death machines? Let's get a boat into New York with lots of ventilators so we can kill people
remember
on board.
That? Yeah.
I'm just like one of these SS Gestapo groups killing Jews. I mean, all right, get them in there and give them the ventilator.
Yeah. I think, Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I think we're never going to get, it's going to be hard to get to the bottom of it because there are so many people, I think for two reasons. One, there are so many people who were totally evil and totally corrupt about this. Number one, I think then you had a second category of people who
just go along,
right? They felt pressured. They just went along. Maybe they had questions, but they knew they better keep their mouth shut. And then I think you have the third group of people, the general public, who bought it. And, you know, it's like if you get conned by a con artist, right? You hate to admit it, who I think just don't like to admit it and are just want to put that all behind them.
The best answer that I heard from Peter Boyle, they said, because he was a big jab proponent and then he went the other way. I said, how many people do you think you've killed by pushing the jab? He said, we haven't finished calculating that yet. We're not sure, you know, which ones include, not to include.
Yeah, it's just, and when you look at the hoax, even with the test, that PCR test,
right?
You can like, depending on how much you amplify it, you can make it show right. everything. You have everything or you have nothing. Depends right. on the amplification level. I mean, the whole thing all the way through has been a hoax. And you can't tell me the politicians didn't know what was going on.
Right. No,
I mean, well, they don't care. You know, they just go along with whatever the flow is. I mean, like Boris Johnson in Britain was, you know, at first he was kind of libertarian, and forget about it. And then all the papers hyped it so much, he went on the other way and became a dictator on it. I mean, you know, the papers really, the mainstream media really pushed the COVID thing.
Right, that's right. And here's from Jacob, did the jab give Peter Boyle a stroke? No, I didn't know.
Well, we brought that up to him.
It's
we brought that
what
up
as
a possibility.
He's like, no.
Yeah.
It's a coincidence. Hey, Sherry, listen, thank you for your call.
Thanks,
great
Sherry.
Information as always. Well, I mean,
thanks.
That's the thing, right? There's so many, was it a coincidence? Was it not a coincidence? But I remember way early on, my daughter's then boyfriend, who was an acupuncturist, was seeing weird stuff in the acupuncture treatment, right?
Well, no, they take blood out and he would take blood out and go, whoa, what's this?
Yeah, and he was just, again, saying this
black, murky, you know.
Right, and he's saying, is Peter still anti-Trump? Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And there was another comment I wanted to get to, too, back when we were talking about, from Jacob, back about the debate. And the first 2020 debate, if Trump would have let Biden talk instead of attacking Biden, then Biden would have tripped over himself. Now the CNN producers will control Biden's mic. Yeah, but I think that Donald Trump has learned from that too, right? Back to the debate, circling around. I think Donald Trump has everything to gain by letting Biden just talk. Right.
You know, he can do lots of things. As you said, he got up there, you know, should I just be nicey-nicey?
Mm-mm.
Should I say, you know, how many of
are you better off now than you were?
Well, yeah, how's that 50? Last time you debated, you said the Hunter Biden thing was a hoax. You know, what happened to that?
Right, right. And that would be that.
They'll go,
CNN.
No, that's not appropriate. Turn his mic off.
That's right. Well, look at what they did. You know, when Chris Wallace, none of them would let Trump ask about it the first time around, right? They're like, now that we know it's true, you really can't ask about it. But anyway, I think Neil Oliver is onto something. And I think there is more and more. And then he started talking about other stuff. And he was even talking about, if you get a chance to look at it, it's on Rumble. I mean, it comes at about the 1:47 mark of 1 hour and 47 minutes. It was about
a two-hour thing.
And he was even talking about, which is true, you know, Tucker was like, well, what about the Spanish flu? That was clearly a pandemic. And he's like, how do we know? He said, it's the same thing. He said, and I read this before too, coincidentally, at the same time, the pharmaceutical companies were making aspirin, right? And so all of a sudden, these doctors started giving everybody aspirin.
Take
whole handfuls. And it's like, so did some people die from the flu? And then did some people, they talked about some of the death descriptions. Well, there was an aspirin overdose description.
Right.
And he said, so, but all of those numbers got thrown in too. So the pharmaceutical companies are screwing us over.
Can we execute a few of these pharmaceutical people?
So, and he's got a point. He's like, so how many people died? Who knows? I mean, are there viruses? And are there, yes, right? I mean, obviously.
Well, the Black Plague, they didn't have a pharmaceutical industry.
We had a clear record keeping then, too. I mean,
well,
yes.
Two-thirds of people died. I mean.
Yes, but what all I'm saying is he said in this case, he's like, I think what he's saying is maybe there was some COVID, but like you pointed out, there's always COVID. It's kind
it's
of a cold.
Flu.
Yeah, it's a cold slash flu. And he's like, but was it killing everybody? Clearly, no. All the deaths started coming afterwards. And so what does YouTube do? They censor that. Okay. Because we certainly don't want people knowing, particularly as we're heading into election.
I've been thinking the whole thing was a con. Nope. Can't let that out there.
No. And then finally, before we go, I just want to, real quick, we only have a couple of minutes left. Vice presidential pick. Trump says he's going to, I don't know, he's picked a person and the person will be at the convention. I don't know. What do you think?
I think he'll pick somebody. He's a narcissist, and he'll pick up somebody that doesn't take the show from him and doesn't want to think about a successor, which throws out J.D. Vance, Rubio. But it'd be awful hard with Rubio because they hate each other so much. And Bagram is probably the perfect bland person that doesn't even exist. He'll go out there. And so I'm thinking he'll
just, I got to wonder, though, if he'd get like, I mean, if you're Trump, you know, again, the vice presidential picks tend to kind of be, they try to want to boost him. So maybe it'll be a woman. Maybe it'll be somebody like Ben Carson, who's so nice and you can't attack him on anything. I mean, who knows?
My second pick would be Donald. I think he'd also make a great running pick. Black, very strongly conservative.
Right.
Because he's got to watch out. from his backside, and somebody wants to get rid of him so they can get to, you know, whoever would be the nice.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's right. So you want a strong vice president. So we'll see.
So who are you? Well, I'd give you. Well,
I don't have.
Why'd you bring the topic up, Julie?
Because you said you wanted to talk about it.
Well, you have to have an opinion too.
You know, I would go with.
Who is he going to pick?
I think somebody like Byron Donald. Not somebody. I think Byron Donald is a good choice.
All right. I don't think
he's going to pick another white guy. I don't think so. And a woman, maybe, you know.
A tranny, maybe.
No, he won't. Yeah, really.
Tranny.
Palestinian.
I love that San Francisco debate where London Breed, the mayor, said to her opponent saying, name three of your LGBTQ advisors and three drag queens that you love the best. Oh, shit. Cinder, Linder Tinder.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's a whole different show. Greg Gutfeld had it on. It was funny. Hey, that'll do it for us today. Wednesday, primary wrap-up should be pretty interesting.
I hope the good guys win. It's always tough for the big guys. They're always underdogs, but we're hoping for them.
All right, see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.